Support for Sound Effect comes from WSECU. Local to Washington, WSECU is a credit union founded in public service. Today, WSECU serves more than 260,000 members. More information is available at wsecu.org. WSECU, serving Washington since 1957.
This is Sound Effect from KNKX. I'm Gabriel Spitzer, joining you midweek here, as we do from time to time in our midweek podcast episodes. We try to grab a story from our radio show, and we play it, talk a little bit about it, explain some of the backstory, and why we find it so interesting, fascinating, hard to shake. And that is definitely the case for this story that I'm about to play for you. This story is about two people who met on rival teams in the real-life superhero movement. They should have been bitter enemies, but instead they ended up falling in love. One of the reasons I wanted to tell this story is because, you know, we presented it in the context of our theme, Bouncing Back, but we, for time reasons, weren't able to get into some of the backstory of what these two individuals were bouncing back from. And I think that it just sheds even more light on their love story, which we'll hear in a moment. But before we get into that, I would like to introduce you to James and Crystal Marks. We're going to start with James. James is an Iraq War veteran. He was in the Army, stationed on Fort Lewis, and then right after 9/11, he went into active duty, and then eventually he was deployed to Iraq. He was stationed in a place called Bilad, which is an abandoned Iraqi airbase about 35 kilometers north of Baghdad. And on that base, he came to understand a little bit about what it's like to live with the constant threat of unpredictable danger in a war zone.
We had been attacked by mortars regularly since July 3rd, 2003, almost daily, and you never knew if it was your time or not. And unless you're in a concrete bunker, there's nothing you can really do to defend against a mortar attack. It's either going to land on your head or it's not.
James says he had several pretty close scrapes with explosives, either mortars or IEDs, and the way he describes experiencing one of these mortar blasts, it's just eerie.
You could just be walking along, doing your job, you know, walking on the street like any other boring day until it's just not. You realize that you are, you know, your vision is blurry and you don't know how, but you're on the ground. Obviously, just instinctively, you want to scramble to get up and get your bearings and figure out where you're at. But your bearings, you left half on the ground because your eardrums are shot now, and the smell of kind of burnt metal, or if it hits somebody awfully close, you can have kind of a burning flesh smell. That's just something you don't forget.
So for James, as for a lot of other military service members, those kinds of experiences would lead later to post-traumatic stress disorder. And that's something that James has been learning to cope with ever since. And when I asked him to sort of describe an example of how that cropped up in his daily life, he told this deeply chilling anecdote.
We had a kind of a mystery package delivered to our house. It turned out to just be a book. And on the inside of the package, there was no, hey, this is from so-and-so. So there's no return information. We had no idea who it was. And this fit all the criteria for a suspicious package. So I wasn't quite sure what to do with it. So I called the police, you know, non-emergency line saying, hey, this may be over the top. This may be nothing. It's nothing. Really, it's nothing. But we sent a sergeant over. We tried cutting open the box very carefully and making sure it wasn't spring-loaded. And I've been home from war for 15 years now. This is the first time I've ever had flashbacks in my life. As soon as he cut the knife into the packing tape to try to pry open the box to see if there's anything in there, I watched it explode. It didn't explode, but I watched it explode. I watched it completely destroy him and his, you know, black police cruiser that he had. And it took me a minute to realize that, you know, he's fine. He's still cutting down the tape. He's looking inside, and he was able to open it up slightly, and it exploded again. And this was a metallic shrapnel that sent bits of everyone and, you know, up into the power lines. And he was fine, and I was here, and there was no explosion. And you know, just even cutting the little ribbon off, you know, I'm seeing wires attached to this thing that aren't there. We cut off the little tag to try to open up the rest of the way, and this thing just blows up into flames, but it's not.
So James has been in treatment for PTSD and traumatic brain injury for some time now, and his main caretaker is his wife, Crystal. Crystal Marks might ring a bell to some regular Sound Effect listeners, because we've done a story with her before in which we got into a little bit about her childhood, because she has struggled with her own unique set of traumatic circumstances growing up. She may be a city council member in Burien now, but she grew up in very unstable circumstances in Aberdeen, where her housing situation could change from night to night, and often she would wind up spending the night outside under a bridge.
It was a difficult situation. I remember going to school and being in a uniform that I had to keep very clean at a Catholic school, and then at night not knowing if we would be sleeping in a bed or under the bridge or at my, what I considered my home with my grandmother. And so I would wrap myself up in a blanket. I remember very vividly, it's a blue blanket, and I'd wrap up and try not to get dirty.
So besides navigating childhood with unstable housing, another source of great instability and stress was the lack of a reliable source of food.
I tried shoving stuff in my pockets. I tried shoving stuff in my blankets, and that's when the rats became a problem. So for me, I became very overweight very quickly, which was very different at my dad's house with my dad and my stepmom. They always had food. There was always something there that we could eat, and I still would hoard stuff thinking it might disappear.
So those are just some of the experiences that inform the people that Crystal and James Marks are today. And there are some of the factors that send both of these people into a very unique and rather obscure subculture called the Real Life Superhero Movement. And if you haven't heard of that, these are regular people usually who dress up often in superhero gear and walk the streets at night fighting crime and helping the helpless and doing all those hero things. But the thing is, there's not just one real-life superhero movement. In fact, there are multiple bands of superheroes, even just in a place like Seattle. And that is the backdrop against which Crystal and James's love story plays out. We're going to hear that now from Sound Effect on KNKX. Crystal Marks is a city council member in Burien. Her husband James is an Iraq War veteran. They've both experienced hardships that have never fully left them. In her case, it was poverty and homelessness as a kid. For him, it was combat-related PTSD. Their relationship and their healing began on rival superhero teams. So this is a story set against the real-life superhero movement in Seattle. And it's a love story.
I had heard about this group called the Rain City Superhero Movement, led by some dude that went by Phoenix Jones.
I had heard a couple of radio interviews with Phoenix Jones back when he was actively patrolling Belltown and Pioneer Square and breaking up bar fights and things like that. And I started walking around at night hoping to find him just to see what it looked like. The idea of someone who really dressed that way, who really broke up fights, like a comic book come to life, was really amazing to me.
I just thought it was a bunch of Comic-Con nerds dressed up playing superhero.
I love superheroes. Wonder Woman was huge. She-Ra was my jam when I was a kid.
I remember reaching out to a buddy of mine and saying, hey, let's go check out some nerds. And we actually went up to, let's go check these guys out.
Learning about the real-life superhero movement made me feel like there were people that were just as nerdy as me. But it also spoke to that side of me that's always been about empowering others, that it's always been about finding solutions instead of constantly complaining.
I was very delightfully surprised. I actually met with all of them. Immediately, this seemed to fill a lot of those holes I had. Being able to use small squad tactics, we would patrol the city like a kind of a glorified block watch thing. We would break up fights. We'd make sure drunk people fiddling for their keys would get thrown in a cab.
I found the Washington Initiative. They were focused primarily on homeless outreach, not so much on the breaking up bar fights, and they didn't dress up.
I was the big dude with a silver and blue helmet. It was actually inspired from a video game. It was on sale at an airsoft store. I'm like, hey, you'll do. And that kind of became a known moniker as, that guy was like Spider-Man, or that other guy was this, and I was the guy that, he looks like Daft Punk or Megatron.
We would make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, grab water bottles, tarps, and then we would head down from Steinbrück Park and go from the north end of the viaduct there all the way down to about Marion, Madison area, and just do handouts.
I remember watching on a previous patrol sometime back, this sweet old lady who appeared to be homeless was being harassed by a bunch of club goers on the way out to their vehicles. And they're very rude, and they hopped in the cars and left very quickly. But I remember we were like, hey, are you okay? Do you need anything and stuff? And I remember seeing her a couple months later. You may not remember me, and, you know, that's totally fine, but I just want to say, you know, I hope you're doing well. I know there were some people that were very, you know, unkind to you and said a lot of nasty things as they went out, and there are good people out here. Just, you know, take care of yourself, okay? And she said to me, I love you too. That stuck with me forever, and it still does to this day. That really summed up what we were doing in very weird, flamboyant ways with our, you know, all superhero personas, all stuff. We're loving our community. I became aware of Crystal as her superhero persona because, sure enough, she was doing the same kind of work on a competing team.
Everyone was always aware of each other, so the Rain City Superheroes, so the Phoenix Jones crew, and then the Washington Initiative, we were the only two in Seattle. And there was a big, it sounds so corny and pathetic to say, but like a superhero battle where we're doing homeless outreach the right way, you're doing it the wrong way, and well, we're fighting crime the right way and you're doing it the wrong way. Late 2013, early 2014, we were forbidden to interact with each other.
I remember being invited to a needle pickup event, and I had to actually tear off my RCSM badge, which is on the back of my jacket, because I didn't want, you know, I can't have anyone knowing that the RCSM is colluding.
And unfortunately, that didn't work well when James, my husband now, reached out to me on Facebook and said, you know what, we're doing the same stuff.
We can maybe pair up on this sometime, and maybe we can make this a joint effort and everyone can learn a thing.
And we decided to meet for coffee and talk about ways that we can do it better. And both of us were terrified that the other person had teammates hiding at Top Pot Donuts in Belltown, waiting to take us down on the way out, and both overly paranoid.
I remember having my head on a swivel. So I remember going to the upstairs of the Top Pot and just kind of sitting there waiting. And
he ordered a maple bar and hot chocolate, which I thought was lame because coffee is way better. And he's a large guy. He's an Army combat veteran who is broader than three barns and about 6'2". So seeing him in person, I was like, well, this is a nice looking man.
Holy crap, she's tall.
We sat across from each other on the top floor of Top Pot and just had a frank conversation about why we thought our teams weren't getting along. He really liked how my brain was very focused on logistics. And I liked that even though his team was seen as kind of like the premier real-life superhero team and they were really all about show, he had a huge heart for people. And that's the questions he asked me was about, why do you do this work? What do you like about it? And that really got me to let my guard down a lot.
I don't think I can quite put into words how trivial and juvenile the superhero community can be. I mean, you know, we're talking about a bunch of grown adults that put on costumes of sorts. I mean, this draws a very particular kind of crazy. So Crystal truly stood out to me as a natural born leader, had wonderful ideas for a community, had endless energy for being able to help people and put together events and plan things.
We had met up for a very easy patrol and walk around of Cap Hill. I was very keenly aware of how close our hands were when we were walking, and they would bump into each other. And
I remember bumping into her a couple times, just kind of inadvertently, you know, partially because, you know, it's dark, all that stuff, and I'm also wearing a big stupid helmet that doesn't have great visibility. And more than once, our hands brushed. It was like a spark leapt out.
I realized, like, he knows his stuff. He's very smart. He's asking how my kids are. I think I love this guy. And by the time we got near Gay City, neither one of us wanted to stop walking. So we went up Bellevue Avenue and there was a house there. We were standing outside of there and like, hey, how much do you think this house is worth? And we're getting closer and closer. And at some point we're bickering and the next thing you know, we're kissing. Phoenix Jones, as the leader of the RCSM, said that our relationship was a big thing. They had a rule, you do not date members of the initiative. And James, as his second in command, that was just unheard of. Why would you do that? You're insubordinate. That was a big part of it.
It was during maybe, I think, 2015. It was poorly planned, very poorly executed. We got put in danger's way countless times.
Every May Day, Phoenix Jones has his team and the initiative has our team. But essentially, we all interacted too much and that scared Phoenix Jones, thinking that he was losing his leadership.
He wouldn't have it.
And the teams broke up.
So, well, you know what? I started this group so I can end it. So I am officially hereby disbanding the RCSM. And everyone, goodbye.
In September-ish of 2014, by then we are very actively dating. I've met his family. He's met members of my family. Our kids adore each other.
Our kids just meshed immediately. And watching how she parented her boys, too, was absolutely remarkable to me. She's a wonderful, strong mother that really boosts her children.
And he proposed on January 1st of 2015 at Snoqualmie Falls.
We found this charming little house in Burien, ironically the same place I had spent a whole childhood trying to get away from. It was one of the last places we could afford. By the time we got married, which was while we're still at that house, we got married there in that front lawn underneath a willow tree.
He's got the biggest heart of anyone I've ever seen. He will cry at the drop of a hat over someone's story and sharing their experiences. And then he's also a huge, just huggable dad. He's our kids' playground. They will swing off of him, climb off of him, and he loves it. He was born to be a dad as much as he was born to be a soldier and will always be a soldier, as much as he was born to protect his community and born to empower me. He just loves, and he loves so deeply that my only worry for him is that he doesn't know how to stop.
In addition to our regular lives, we always try to do a little bit extra for our community, and that's kind of something that we are using as examples to, you know, show our kids, you know, this is how you adult. This is how you love on your community. And, you know, our kids are at that age where, you know, they're very, very impressionable, and they're very, you know, they need those good role models, and Crystal and I both try to be that for all of our kids.
My kids have talked about becoming superheroes since the first moment they heard of us doing it. And it's morphed into them noticing when we pass by a homeless encampment and saying, you know, Mom, how would you be a superhero in this? Or here's what I would do. I want to give them our TV. And from a kid place, that's the biggest thing they could possibly give. So if my kids wanted to get into the real life superhero movement, I would say go for it. Maybe don't wear the costumes.
Crystal Marks and James Marks live in Burien. We presented their story in our episode all about bouncing back. You can hear the rest of the stories in that episode by going back a couple of slots in our podcast feed. In the meantime, send your feedback about our podcast to soundeffect@knkx.org. If you have a minute to rate and review our podcast on Apple Podcasts or elsewhere, we really, really appreciate that feedback too. Meanwhile, watch your feed for another episode of Sound Effect coming up this weekend. I'm Gabriel Spitzer. See you around.